Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Happy start to the offseason, though there's nothing real happy about it. Had about 48 hours to decompress after another brutal playoff loss. And yeah, it still stings. It still sucks. I'm still dealing with it. I'm sure you are too. The business of football, however, marches on. The Packers announcing the futures deals of mostly their practice squad just a little bit ago. And of course, the big news that everyone wants to talk about is the status of one Matt LaFleur as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. ESPN reporting early this morning that the plan is to try and continue on with Coach LaFleur. Though nothing is set, nothing is done, the two sides will attempt to work out some kind of contract extension, deal, what have you. And obviously my mentions, inbox, everything, comments, whatever, have been flooded with folks with tons of thoughts, opinions, expressions, some upset, some happy. All I know is I understand it. I get the idea of wanting to hopefully finish what you started with, Matt, and this idea when you moved past Aaron Rodgers, pulled the Band-Aid off, so to speak, went extremely young in a way that was pretty extreme, especially for a league where oftentimes teams will certainly, quote, go young, but with more often than not a mixture of veterans in the mix to go along with the youth movement. The Packers went pretty extreme to the end of getting rid of most of the long-term veterans that had been around with Rodgers, and then turned to their first-time starter, who obviously it had been the plan, to go to Jordan Love. And I think if you're Ed Policy looking at the work LaFleur has done with Jordan Love and with a extremely young roster through the course of these past 3 years, I get it, especially after the trade for Micah Parsons and essentially telling the world that this was your window. This is you taking that big swing as an organization and then having it all fall apart there in Denver. I get Ed Policy wanting to keep some stability and or continuity, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Clearly things in hanging in the air when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, especially with Jeff Hafley having upwards, I think now 5 interview requests. I haven't seen any of those interviews yet to be scheduled and or reported, but we do know teams have certainly been asking about him. So there obviously is going to be a little bit of trepidation and or kind of questions on the defensive side. But in a league where oftentimes offensive continuity is a harbinger of success, I understand Policy wanting, again, to continue on with Matt LaFleur. Now, that doesn't dismiss the complaints, the problems, the issues. Certainly, those are all very real and undoubtedly will be talked about all offseason long. I very much am not looking forward to it, but I know it will be conversation. So with all of that said, nothing is finalized yet, but you have to think there probably will be some kind of announcement here later this week. We'll see what transpires as far as the contract goes, what happens with Hafley, but for now, Green Bay looking to bring back or continue on with Matt LaFleur as their head coach. I'm sure no one will have any opinions on this. And I look forward to all your chats being about off-season moves and injuries and guys that talked in the locker room today, such as Micah Parsons and Tucker Kraft and Zach Tom. Man, the Zach Tom conversation was tough to listen to as far as, you know, the injury he suffered in Denver and their treatment and hoping to get him back for a playoff spot, a playoff game, and that obviously didn't materialize. He will be having surgery and hopes to be back within 6 months, which would put him on the path to be ready for training camp, but you never really know. Hopefully that is the case. Tucker Kraft as well, talking very positively about his rehab so far, his recovery from an ACL, and you know, that fact that he seems to be on a good path. And then Micah Parsons saying point blank, he's, you know, probably unrealistically shooting for week one, but certainly hoping to be out there by week three or four, which would clearly mean that he would most likely start the season on PUP. But I think we would all take that. I'm fine with surviving the first month of the 2026 season without Parsons. However, I will say I fully expect the Packers to open against the Bears because the NFL scheduling gods hate Green Bay. But that's a top conversation for later this offseason. Right now, I'm sure everybody's got tons of stuff they want to talk about. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. Football season is all about action, and sometimes injuries happen, as the Green Bay Packers know well too much. Whether it's a sprain, strain, or something more serious, ThetaCare Orthopedic Care is here to help you recover like a pro. Their team offers expert care for bones, joints, and muscles, so you can get back to doing what you love, on the field or in the stands. Don't let pain sideline you. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, it's on your mind. Let the healing begin. Click 135. Oh, my goodness. What's going on, Knock? That is an incredibly generous super chat in whatever currency you're using there. Ben Johnson. Oh, boy, we're starting with a Ben Johnson chat. All right, let's get to it. Ben Johnson is disrespecting the Packers and LaFleur, and I don't think any other coach will be more motivated to beat the Bears next year. I wish he would stop taking the high road and talk some shit back. I've seen this sentiment quite a bit. I do understand that feeling from the fans, but certainly hasn't been LaFleur's MO so far as a head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I don't expect that to change. Clearly, he always talks about when he respects someone, respects the way they do their job, etc. And he also doesn't talk about guys that maybe he doesn't respect. And he certainly hasn't said one utterance about Ben Johnson other than the joke he made on the McAfee program during the draft. But yeah, I get fans wanting to see their team and or coach get down in the muck, so to speak. And I do not doubt for a moment that it burns him up inside, probably burns some of his assistants up. We heard the closest thing we heard to kind of push back on that was Stenovich a couple weeks ago talking about, yeah, you notice it. But, the Green Bay Packers don't worry about one team. They worry about themselves and how to get better and how to win the conference, get to a Super Bowl, win another title. And I get it hasn't happened for 15 years, but it's certainly not going to happen by fixating on the Chicago Bears. That is not the path to success, at least not in Green Bay. With all of that said, I love that Ben Johnson said what he said. I love that the rivalry is back on. And I love that he point blank said into a microphone that he has talked to ownership about it. And McCaskey's completely fine with it. Because of course McCaskey and the Bears ownership are fine with it. It's been decades of futility in Chicago. And now finally they have a win. They have a feather in their cap over the Green Bay Packers. Of course they love it. They've had nothing for so long. Man, I love it. And to your point, you don't think that's fuel for LaFleur and company? I'm sure it is. I love it. I absolutely love it. Rivalry. Game on. Let's go. Kyle, what's going on, brother? Thanks for the super chat. What was your opinion on Bullard's and Quay's statement after the game? I think they hit the nail on the head. I'm also glad LaFleur will still be in Green Bay. I feel like this team is on the cusp of greatness. Woo, Kyle, greatness. I think there's a lot that has to happen this offseason for greatness to be achieved. But as far as Bullard and Quay, the one I found interesting was Quay, like point blank saying the inability to close existed before he got there or before he got in the building. And it's been a problem with the franchise. What that says to me, and this is total tinfoil hat wearing, reading between the lines nonsense, but what that says to me is after, what, a year plus of Brian Gutekunst talking about how Quay Walker was in their long-term plans and certainly going to be a part of the core of this football team, yet here we are a year plus later, and there has been no extension for Quay Walker, and now he is on the doorstep of free agency. I think he knows he's probably done in Green Bay, and he's probably, somewhat distancing himself from the organization with a statement like that. Again, that's just how I read it, but that's all I got, right? Unless someone were to get him to maybe clarify that statement, but yeah, that's how I read it. That's just me, though. Michael, how are you, sir? Do the Bears own the rivalry going forward? No. Do they own the figurative rivalry title belt? Yes. The good news, we can win it back next season. I mean, yes, Ben Johnson certainly has a feather in his cap, and the Bears are feeling great about themselves, but they're still behind in the all-time series. And yeah, they are now 2-1 in the postseason. Bully for them, man. I'm sure they'll hang a banner for it because it's pretty much all they got since 85, right? Certainly fun going forward, no doubt about it. Fernando, thank you so much for being a Care of the G Club member. Really appreciate the support, especially heading into the offseason where I understand lots of folks aren't quite as engaged and on board with content around the NFL in the offseason, though there is a ton of it. We will still be doing tons of content, both leading into free agency and the draft. And speaking of the draft, if you haven't checked out Newt's Mock Draft Mondays started today here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Make sure you check out Newt's stuff. Really good breakdowns of not just what the Packers need and he expects them to be looking at in the draft, but man, he's been breaking down position rankings, scouting reports for players, and it's just starting. Make sure you're engaging with that content. You will be smarter when the draft rolls around. Austin, how are you, sir? Nags, Green Bay needs more some assholes on this team, some guys that'll get under the skin of opposing players. Go Pack, go. Love what you do, Nags. Thank you, Austin. I'm always kind of two minds here, and I don't disagree, but, you know, getting under the skin, etc., isn't that what Keyshawn Nixon does? It'd be nice if they were better at their jobs while doing it. You know, look, I remember Wayne Simmons. I remember the ability he had to really get after people. Ross Verba, another one of those types, right? You got to be good at the gig first before that becomes, like, being an asshole becomes an asset. I mean, I'm with you. Again, I don't mind that idea. But first and foremost, you got to be good between the white lines when the whistle blows, you know? That's paramount. Uncultured, what's going on, man? Still pissed, but my view has changed. If Jason Wilde and Bill Michaels want Coach gone, I say we keep him. No way I'm siding with those ass clowns. Come on. Neither Wilde nor Bill Michaels are, quote, ass clowns. Are they probably misguided in this instance? Somewhat. But look, if Wilde, and I haven't seen Wilde say that outright. Maybe he did somewhere. I'm not sure. I heard him this morning on the radio sounding very much like he was in support of keeping LaFleur around. But maybe I misheard or did I miss something? But look, Bill Michaels has been doing this for 3 decades plus, right? He certainly earned his right to have an opinion. But pretty much everybody has an opinion, and that's fine. You don't have to agree with it, but that doesn't mean they're an ass clown. That's just me. I know it was combative internet streets. This is how we talk, but, you know, wanting a coach, you know, wanting to move on from a coach, is especially after that catastrophic playoff loss. Trust me, I get it. And look, they're not the only ones, if Wilde is indeed in that camp. Bill Huber and Tom Silverstein both wrote pieces about how it was time to move on from LaFleur before the news broke this morning. So it's not like, you know, this is a unpopular sentiment. And again, considering the last 3 seasons, the way they've limped into the playoffs, lost these last couple of wild card games, I get it. I'm not saying I don't understand, because I do. Uncultured, thanks again. Only Ben Johnson worth a damn acted in Westerns. That's a great pull. Doug Hype. After watching the O-line's complete disaster in the second half against a bad D-line, thank God I woke up today and chose Care the G Cream Ale. Funny, if only there was some kind of tune we could play. Oh, I think there is.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be, so creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
That's right, Wisconsin. There's still plenty of Care of the G out there for you to buy across the state. Store shelves still carrying Care of the G, probably for the next month or so. So get out there and get yourself the official beer of Cheesehead TV. Oh, and Doug, I got your video. Very humorous. We'll see about getting it on one of our social channels here. Soder, what's going on, man? Part of me thinks that when they imploded on the opening offensive series of the second half, both the Bears and the Packers knew what was coming next. Not confident that Matt LaFleur can fix it, but I have no say. ultimately, that's the thing, right? We can bray all day on the outside, but ultimately, that's all it is noise signifying nothing, right? And I know, yes, the fan-owned thing. I get it. I understand. Certainly, fan sentiment is noted within 1265 Lombardi, but it's not driven by it, nor should it be. JL Packers, what's up? Nags, stumbling upon this page a few years ago was a godsend. It's been easy for me to tune out the pack during the offseason, but you have gotten me back into staying engaged with this team. Thank you, brother. Also, okay, that last part is unnecessary, but I appreciate it. I really appreciate the sentiments. It's kind of what I used to talk about when I first started at the Press Gazette, when they kind of created the role for me of kind of social slash video person on the beat. Man, it's not hard to find Packers fans ready to talk Packers throughout the calendar, right? Like, just because it's not football season, there are plenty of people always all around the globe that are ready to talk some Packers. And you're always welcome to come here to Cheesehead TV and do it pretty much every day throughout the offseason, at least Monday through Friday, you know? And look, I encourage everyone to join the Patreon group or become a Care of the G Club member and join us on Happy Hour every week. Our next kind of get together is tomorrow night. I'm sure it will be a lively session. But like this past offseason, we did plenty of film watching. We watched a couple old Packers games together. Always fun and engaging throughout what is the longest offseason in professional sports. We try to keep you talking and having a great time, even when the Packers aren't playing. H. Carrington, how are you, man? Four of our last five playoff losses saw our best offensive line either inactive or unable to finish the game, and the other one was last year when Elton played four snaps. Yeah, that's something I talked about with Andy Herman today on the final Let's Talk Football episode of the season, which I highly encourage everyone to check out. But yeah, to me, that's the story of the entire season, not just this game, but you're certainly correct that once Zach Tom was unable to go, things got exponentially more difficult for the Packers. And I'm sure most of you have probably seen the clip where Jordan should have had a very dramatic and for the ages touchdown pass to win the game to Christian Watson. I think second to last play of the game. But in that clip, you see almost all of the offensive line issues laid bare in one play, right? There's little doubt that that is going to have to be a focal point yet again this offseason, because man, every disappointment on the offensive side of the ball in the 2025 Packers season can mostly, not completely, but mostly be traced back to a substandard O-line. I mean, I always talk about it, and I know probably longtime viewers and listeners probably roll their eyes and get sick of this, but it is 1,000,000,000% true. And if anything, this season that we just concluded drove it home more than anything. The offensive line is the engine of your offense. And if it doesn't work, or if it's busted, or if there is even one part that doesn't kind of play up to the standard, you're in a lot of trouble. And it's real difficult. And the fact that the Packers were as productive as they were this season offensively, even with the very inconsistent play up front, is a feather in Matt LaFleur's cap. And I know no one wants to acknowledge that on a day where everyone wants him fired or whatever. But that is, again, one of the considerations that policy is probably taking in that even with this offensive line that was completely shambolic for much of the year, they're scoring plenty of points, enough points to win games more often than not. It's got to get fixed this offseason, though. It is certainly something they're going to, you know, maybe not take a deep dive on because I think it's pretty apparent, but the offensive line play across the board has to be better in 2026. Don Vito, what's up? Welcome to the Packer fan base civil war. Matt LaFleur, keep or let go. Let me be clear. I am firmly in the camp of keep and extension. It's good to see everybody declaring themselves here from the onset. And look, it doesn't have to be civil war. I understand there is a very loud minority, although I feel like their numbers are growing, Packers fan section that wants to move on from LaFleur. I'm pretty sure my father is in that camp, but like I said at the top, I understand the Packers wanting to keep some continuity. I do like it. Rob, what's going on, man? Glad you guys aren't spurging out like some of the others out there. I'm not quite sure what spurging is, but happy to be your non-spurging oasis. How's that? Alan, how are you, sir? Micah Parsons' presser in the locker room made me want to run through a wall for him. His teammates should listen. Thanks for the season, Nags, and go Pack, go. Yeah, I thought there were a lot of gems in Micah's availability, not the least of which was the interesting note about how he called Matt LaFleur and said, I've been seeing some of the stuff out there, and I want you to know I've got your back, you know? And the fact that he said one of the reasons I wanted to come here and agreed to the trade at all is because you're the coach. I hope the LaFleur haters at least take a listen to it, you know? Norman, what's up? RIP the playoff beard. Yeah, you're not the only one. Not the only one mourning it. My girlfriend is very upset with me that I've shaved it. But it was time, man. Playoffs are done. Time to get back to at least a little, just a little stubble, if nothing else. E4, what's up, brother? Maybe now Matt LaFleur will return my phone calls at halftime. Hey-o, ba-dum-bum-psh. Oh, Simatovich. Of course you got to throw this in there. Thoughts on the Jags reporter blowback. I see no issue. All the old school hardcore journos who have made a stink about this are only revealing themselves to be living with dinosaurs. The world ain't the same. The job description remains for sure, but the people in the room, the people who are asking the questions, the folks who are allowed the access that you are as well, they have every bit of the right to talk and ask questions and approach the person at the podium with however they want to. Like, you're not there being Grantland Rice sucking on a stogie, pounding out copy that's, you know, precious and got to be consumed at a deadline. Like, that ain't that world anymore. This is the friction I had when I first started on the beat, you know? The consumption of news is totally different. The consumption of content itself is in another world from when the hardened old rules of journalism still applied. And that doesn't mean that there aren't still real fucking journalists out there. There certainly are. But the space you're occupying is in relation to a very different world and a very different public. And that woman commending Liam Cohen for 30 seconds isn't going to make you miss your deadline, isn't going to fuck up your ability to ask coach a different question, you know? Plus, here's the other part. My favorite concept is like, oh, she's taking precious time from someone who wants to ask a real question. Have you heard the fucking questions that are asked in 90% of NFL press conference? How does it feel? How did it feel when? Shut the fuck up. You want to ask a real football question, I'm all for it, but 90% of the shit is drivel anyway. I got no issue with a woman asking or telling the coach he's done a great job his first year in the building. How did it feel when, what was the mindset of, shut up, ask an actual question, and then maybe we can talk. Doug Hype, what's up, man? Hearing players talk about how much they believe in LaFleur makes sense. If they had a decent O-line, the offense would be unstoppable. Keyword, if. Yeah, again, as we just talked about, big, big, big part of this offseason. Brockman, how are you? The universe was trying to spare my sanity. Just before the last missed field goal, the power at my house went out. The universe was saying, bro, don't watch. Trust us. Are we eating McManus's contract cap-wise? Certainly a possibility there on that last part. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they move on. I think he was lights out this past summer. We all kind of saw the reports and I was there, blah, blah, blah. And he was phenomenal. And he was good early in the season prior to getting hurt. And then he got hurt. And we all know the clown car thing that kind of followed it with Hyversek and all of the up, down, whatever. But man, that is a tough, tough performance to come back from. If you are a kicker, you have one job. I understand Matt LaFleur getting heat, but there are many, many levels to what he's dealing with and juggling. McManus has to kick, make his kicks. That's it. That's the job description. That is all that's asked of him. And in the biggest moment of the season, his misses directly led to the Packers being at home. So maybe Goody moves on there, but I don't, like, again, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. We'll see what transpires here over the course of the next couple weeks. Don Vito, what's up? Also, the off-season clickbait articles have begun. Fucking gross. You know, on the one hand, yes, you're not wrong. It's annoying as hell. But also on the other hand, people got to pay bills. And I understand that as someone who owns an entity, co-owns an entity that is, you know, kept afloat by the fact that people click. All that to say, just keep scrolling if you don't like it. It ain't difficult. Pac-Man, what's up? Matt needs his get back against Johnson. Go Pack, go. Dude, it's going to be glorious. The next Packers-Bears game in Lambeau, baby. I may have to go to that one as a fan and just sit in the stands so I can, you know, bray for blood. It's going to be fun. Joe, what's going on, man? Listening to Kraft and Parsons made me wonder if Packers missed their leadership and example almost as much as their play on the field. Certainly something to be said for guys that, you know, lead the way both by their play, but also what they're saying, what they're doing in the locker room, etc. I don't doubt that that is a bit of a vacuum, especially, you know, Tucker has been around, but certainly not in like most of the meetings, I don't think, and things of that nature. I don't doubt that there's a component there. That's probably true. Joe, what's up? 208 days till family night. Sighs. That means it's 208 days to Mile of Music. Let's look at it that way. Come on. That's something to look forward to. Let's go. Marshall Duke, how are you? Do you think Matt's second half approach is him overthinking things by changing what is working, trying to jump the gun on the opposition, adjusting? I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, look, you can get frustrated by the fact that they couldn't run the ball. You know, they didn't have a gain over a yard the entire second half, which is insanity. But he came out trying to push the ball downfield, tried to hit Luke Musgrave on a chunk play up the right side. But, you know, the Bears did adjust and change their approach, and they sent cap blitz there on the very first play, and they continued to send blitzes pretty much throughout the start, especially of the second half. And the Packers protection unit just was not up to the task. So I don't know if he was overthinking things. I think, you know, when they changed their approach and Matt started to buckle in and go, okay, I'm going to run the ball, they couldn't run the ball. And they did, again, finally figure it out with that drive that the touchdown to – that culminated in the touchdown to Golden. But, I mean, sometimes you just got to tip your cap. You know, it's not the first time that Dennis Allen has gotten the best of Matt LaFleur. Look no further than the first three quarters of that game against the Saints, the first home start as a starter for Jordan Love, you know? So, I don't know if I'd call it overthinking. I think Dennis Allen just did a really good job there, especially the third quarter. E4, what's up, man? Used to be sad because I had no shoes. Then I met a man who had no class. Talking about you, Ben Johnson. You guys are on one. Mimsy, what's going on? Isn't expecting Matt to be a better game manager the definition of insanity? He was on the Falcons 21-3 staff. Is he self-aware to see his tendencies? I think very much so on that last part. But I love that people keep tying Matt to the Falcons meltdown in the game, the Super Bowl against the Patriots, while also praising Kyle Shanahan, who literally was the play caller in the meltdown against the Falcons, or against the Patriots, sorry. Like, Matt's tie to that game is so minimal, yet people want to pump that up. Like, look, you're not wrong. They were leading how many games this year? By double digits in the fourth quarter and lost, right? Certainly that's something he's going to take a look at this offseason. It has to be. There's no way they don't. But yeah, the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl, he was the quarterback's coach. He wasn't calling the plays. Like, give me a break there. Simitovich. Nixon said he met his goals for the year. What? He played the full season. That's the only thing I can think he's talking about right there. Evil Badger, what's up? The Packers keep Matt LaFleur. It proves to me that the Packers are the definition of insanity. They keep running it back. I know it feels very frustrating after the loss and after lots of the frustrating losses this year. But I also know Bill Walsh said most NFL coaches have a shelf life of 10 years. Matt's at 7. If they hit 10, they haven't won the Super Bowl, they'll probably move on. But I don't mind not being, you know, hot to move and hire somebody when they've had some, you know, really good success with Matt intermittently between the Aaron Rodgers years and then the first playoff game with Jordan. You know, they've shown they could win. They've just got to be way more consistent. And you don't do that by hiring and firing. Steve-O, what's up? The Packer season is over, but as bum fans, we can still enjoy Carry the G and Luigi's Pizza, right? Cue jingle, please. Cheers, cheeseheads. Well, I already did the jingle, so I'm not going to do the jingle again. But yes, 1,000%. Don Vito. Oh, yeah, I love this chat. Nags, real talk. Huey Lewis belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His only shortcoming is that he's a 49ers fan. But other than that, you are 1,000,000,000% correct. Banger after banger after banger. Couldn't agree more. Mike Witt, how are you, brother? Hey, Nags, I completely don't agree with the decision to bring back LaFleur. Not my decision. I just have no expectations with this team going forward. Still, we'll cheer for them. Just kind of done. How can you be done if you're still going to be cheering for them? We'll see you next year. Appreciate you, man. Kyle, how are you, buddy? As shitty as that loss was, Golden's TD was so electric, and I'm happy he finally found the end zone. It's so electric, right? And it's so much fun until you think, where the fuck had that been all year? Not like it was some crazy play call. It wasn't like some insane idea to, oh, put Golden in motion, get him in the flat, and let him go to work. But no, we watched Savion Williams end-arounds go for 2 yards for the majority of the season. Like, what? But you're not wrong. It was very exciting. Love to see more of it next season. Please. Soder, what's going on, man? Keyshawn Nixon might just be the best thing that ever happened to Rashawn Gary. I think both of them are probably going to be playing for other organizations in 2026, but we will see. Mike Witt again, what's up? In other news, it will be nice to cheer for Devontae again. F the Bears. Man, definitely need Devontae to refamiliarize himself with Soldier Field next weekend. No doubt about it. Dustin, what's going on? What's the biggest thing Matt needs to change to win? I'm glad you asked that because it's something I've been thinking about all day, and it's not quantifiable, which makes it difficult to kind of pinpoint, but I do think, and just, I know, again, this is very conceptual. It's not, you know, X's and O's. It's not personnel. He needs to loosen up. He needs to loosen his grip a little bit. You know, micromanaging so much of the program, the roster, the everything. I get the idea of being the head coach is everybody's answerable to you. Everything stops with you. The buck stops with you, etc. But again, I've talked about this before. Teams are a reflection of their coach. And they see you. They feel you getting tight. They get tight. And they play tight. And their reaction is tight. He just needs to loosen up a little bit. I think if he does, they win 12, 13 games. I don't think it's much more than that. I really don't. He knows the game backward and forward. He knows more X's and O's than most. He's better at X's and O's than most. He's got a good defensive coordinator. If Halfley moves on, hopefully he'll find another one. But more than anything, loosen the fuck up, man. That's it. I think it's pretty simple. E4, what's going on? Would say having late draft picks are starting to show on our O-line, but we have had late draft picks for 30 years. No doubt about it. And look, two of the guys that they're probably going to start next year are early picks, Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton. Zach Tom certainly going to be back as a fourth rounder, right? I think definitely suspect that they will draft a center. That's just guesswork on my part. But yeah, they got to be better as far as identifying and developing that talent, something they've been phenomenal at for decades. You know, certainly need to recalibrate there. Jesse, what's up? I'll never understand why Malik was treated purely as a backup quarterback when he was clearly an offensive weapon who could come in and change up for some plays slash drives. For the majority of the season, I get you, man. But, you know, Matt was asked about that on Sunday, and he point blank said, you know, if Malik were going to enter the game, it would be strictly as a drop back passer because he was dealing with a number of different injuries from his shoulder to his hamstring, etc. So as much as they would have maybe listened to the idea of utilizing Malik's legs and utilizing him in, say, goal line situations or red zone, whatever, he wasn't physically great. You know, he was there as the backup and could come in and play quarterback, but apparently, like that, he was pretty damn banged up, right? But drawing back season-wide, I don't disagree, man. And I understand Matt saying that, you know, you don't want to take Jordan Love off the field. Completely understand it. But it does feel like, yeah, Malik is a bit of an asset, and why not try to utilize it, right? I hear you there. Taymor, what's up? What staffing changes do you predict? I think there's a decent chance that Luke Butkus is bid adieu. I think Duggan, the linebackers coach, is a possibility that he moves on. I think so much of it clearly depends on the Halfley situation, right? Maybe there's a few more changes on the offensive side, but I think more often than not, it's going to depend on what happens with Halfley. Keith, what's up? F the Bears and F Ben Johnson. War is declared. I mean, if Ben can say it, I can say it, right? Fuck the Bears and fuck Ben Johnson. There, you don't need to censor yourself here. It's all good. We're all grown-ups. The Man, what's up? After such a loss, I think it should light a fire under Matt where he can become more of a disciplinarian without coming off as a fake tough. More of a disciplinarian. I don't understand that. I think he's too much of a disciplinarian. This is what I'm talking about. He's too tight. His team is tight. You know, they had the skirmish in camp this past summer. He made Rashid Walker run a lap. What is this, high school? I don't know, man. I don't think leaning into disciplinarian is the answer. That's just me. But these are grown-ass men. They're professionals, you know? It's not high school. It's not college. Brian, what's up? This is a reach, but almost thought Caleb purposely walked into Sorrell. Was hoping he'd get an embellishment penalty. Possibly. I don't really have an opinion. I do think Caleb Williams is talented as hell. And the big fourth down that certainly Bears fans are repeatedly playing and really oohing and eyeing over for good reason. It's an amazing play, but it is a perfect example of what I was talking about last week. You guys remember I said the key when it came to, or comes to defending Williams, you have got to plaster. There's not a moment. From the snap of the ball to the whistle that ends the play, you have got to plaster. Nixon doesn't plaster. Completion. Bears still have life. There's a direct straight line there. Eric, what's going on? I even thought Matt LaFleur should go, but when all the core players on your team speak highly of him, don't fuck with the chemistry. I get it, but new staff, definitely. Yeah. I think it does go a long way when you hear from especially the top kind of echelon of the locker room, right? No doubt about it. Coin 42, loved hearing Parsons calling out players' effort. I mean, could be a direct line to Rashawn Gary. There's certainly been enough tape now of him kind of jogging half-ass at the end of plays, but I don't think it's limited to him. I do think, you know, got to get after it. 100 miles an hour each and every play. That should be the standard. And it kind of is what we saw those first 2 weeks, the first two games. And that kind of dissipated throughout the season. FJL, what's up? Shout out Kennard for that hilarious run after the catch. Future goal line back. Maybe in a blocking capacity. I don't know if they'll ever give him the ball again, considering how far that fumble went. But yeah, I don't disagree. It was hilarious. Ralph, what's going on, man? Very least, some of this staff better be gone. Or what? You're going to stop watching? I always love these, like, ultimatums on the internet. I'm not saying that you're not, you know, 100% onto something as far as there probably going to be some staff changes, but they better be gone. Or what, Ralph? What's going to happen? I mean, look, how about they get some more talented players for said staff to work with? It's hard to, like, get too crazy about, say, I don't know, the secondary coaches when they're being given Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon as their starters. That's just me. Coach Richie, thank you for the super sticker. Appreciate you. Amy, how are you? Golden, where the fuck was that all year t-shirt? Everybody's got ideas for t-shirts. I do appreciate it. Mike Witt, what's up? Johnson doesn't talk junk to KOC or Campbell because, unlike LaFleur, he actually respects those two coaches. Cool. What about all the coaches that Matt LaFleur respects? And he doesn't have to go out of his way to denigrate guys he doesn't. I know which side I prefer. That's just me. Travis, what's up, man? I'm sure all the Bears still suck chance was top of Bears bulletin board. Carmo has a way of humbling arrogance, and everyone involved can do better in 2026. Oh, make no mistake. The Bears still suck. Come on now. They're the Bears. What have they won since 1980 fucking five? One playoff game? Well done, boys and girls. Against the Packers, I mean, obviously. I mean, don't get it twisted. The Bears still suck. Come on. Istro Martins? I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry. Tough loss. Watched with Dad, and he couldn't believe his eyes. Say hello to Brazil. Go, Pack, go. No matter what. What's up, Brazil? Yeah, tough loss. And, yeah, my dad had a pretty similar reaction. Let's put it that way. Lucas, what's up? Got to imagine Steno is gone. If LaFleur stays, it'll probably be a Tampa-like house cleaning. I think there will be changes, but I don't know if it'd be at that extent. I know they've done a whole lot of maneuvering there on the Todd Bowles' staff. I don't know about Steno. You know, that was one of LaFleur's earliest, most key hires. So I know everybody on the outside wants, you know, to talk about Steno needing to go. Butkus, I would understand that, but Steno, I'm not so sure. We'll see, though. You might be right. Mike, thanks again. If Matt is back, I would fire Butkus and demote Steno to O-line coach, hire McDaniels as OC, and if Hafley gets a head coaching job, I'd hire Raheem Morris as DC. I don't know about any of that, but I do like the idea of Raheem Morris. I know he and Matt go way back, know each other well, and I do think Raheem is a really good defensive mind. I do not hate that idea, Mike. Finally, you and I in agreement on something. Keith, what's up? So Nag should let his guys, I think you mean should Matt let his guys go trick-or-treating? I mean, look, I don't really give a shit about what he said about Halloween, but, you know, it's kind of instructive and illuminating, isn't it? Evan, what's going on? Aaron, do you think Schefter's report that the Packers are, quote, trying to work out a deal, that there are conditions that have to be met, like OC and special teams coordinator? Not necessarily. I think it's much more about money. It's going to be, you know, what is the market rate? What are other head coaches making? Look, Matt is way underpaid for his position in the NFL, comparative to his peers especially. No Packers fan wants to hear that after that loss in particular, but it is the truth. You know, it's like back in the day when Aaron Rodgers was making less money than like Mark Sanchez, you know, at some point you got to pay market rate. And I'm sure that is what they're working on more than any kind of, I'm not dismissing the conversation around the staff, because I do think that probably is part of it, but much more about the money would be my guess. Yes, Keith, Matt should let his guys go trick-or-treating. Dustin, what's up? Kraft and Parsons are so important for their team. You are 1,000,000,000% correct. Adam Rice, how are you? Firing Matt LaFleur would be like Interpol booted Carlos D. Sure, he can be annoying and has his shortcomings, but the music just isn't the same without him. There's my extremely niche analogy. I appreciate it, man. Any kind of, you know, international injection into the conversation is always welcome. Appreciate you. KL Hutch, what's going on? Matt LaFleur is an utmost professional. The team backs him, so we should back him. I'm going to keep it positive because never not going to support the Pack. Go, Pack, go. Look at this positivity up in here, man. How did you get internet access? I didn't know that was allowed. Appreciate you. Joe, what's up, man? Needed Wick's injury for Golden to get his chance? Certainly seems that way, though. It's not like Wick's didn't miss time throughout this season. He most certainly did, you know, no doubt about it. Here we go. True. I love these. I'm more suggesting that Nagler isn't just going to come on here and badmouth the organization. That will diminish any chances of getting guests like Goody or whoever in the future. Dog, I've been doing this since 2007. You think I haven't said or been critical of the organization for 18 years? My guy, go outside. Feel the wind on your face. Give me a break. Please come in here with some actual factual stuff rather than your guessing nonsense. What else we got here, folks? It's just amazing how many times special teams has bit us in the ass in the playoffs. Man, there's certainly something to be said for the conversation around Rich Bisaccia, and I do think that is going to be one of the pieces of conversation that Matt and Ed and everybody involved are going to be having, because we know through reporting that there was a possibility that Rich was going to retire last offseason. That didn't happen. They extended his contract by a year. But yeah, man, and I said this to Andy earlier today, and I'll say it here. Every time I talk to anybody within the organization, they always extol the virtues of Rich and how good he is for Matt LaFleur and the players and how much they love him and what all the kind of ways that he, or not all the kind of ways, but that there is a very connective tissue through Rich and the organization that is very positive, which is all great. And I do like to hear it, but it would be lovely to see any kind of evidence of it on the outside. It's very difficult to do so, especially when he's still, quote, in charge of special teams, and special teams keep messing up the seasons for the Green Bay Packers. And no, Rich can't make the kicks. You know, the kicker's got to make the kicks. But you certainly had a coverage bust or two in that game. You know, it's just hard to sit here every year dealing with the same nonsense. So that, I completely think, is in line with some of the conversation that they're going to be having throughout the offseason. Don Vito, 1,000,000,000%. Matt LaFleur just needs to keep Jordan in rhythm after the half. That's the big one. I mean, you're not wrong, but it would help if they could block up front. Hard to stay in rhythm when there's a sieve in front of you, regardless of what the call is. But yeah, you're not wrong. FGL, what's up? Matt LaFleur needs darkness retreat. Confront these demons. I don't feel like the ayahuasca retreat is really on brand for Matt or something he would embrace, but hell, I'd be willing to listen to anything. Adam, what's going on? In my opinion, many of the issues people have with the coaching, I feel like can be addressed by the front office being less cheap with the staff. New president, so .. Yeah, I know. I had a very long conversation about that with Justice here on the channel. Make sure you guys check that out. Came out last week. No doubt need to listen to that. Storm Ray, what's up? Just wanted to take the time to thank you for hosting these chats. Keeps me sane as a Packers fan living in Kansas City, which is no small feat. Brother, you are welcome, and you are appreciated. Thank you so much. Lucas, what's going on? One more thing I'm curious about is their approach with cap next season. Restructure and go all in or work the margins. That is going to be fascinating as far as their approach because, yeah, they're going to have to make several moves just to get under the cap. And then as far as trying to maneuver and possibly sign free agents, what have you, to your point, do they view it as, okay, we've got this two-year window before Micah Parsons, his contract becomes a real issue. So do we go all in, kick the can again like they did at the end of Rodgers' tenure? That's a possibility, right? Who knows? And who knows how much the cap goes up each year, et cetera. So, yes, we know there's very, you know, some moves you can point to that are highly likely, right? Like moving on from Elgton Jenkins, moving on from Rashawn Gary, letting guys like Sean Ryan, Romeo Doubs, et cetera, walk out the door and not pay them, et cetera. Like, I get that there are the moves that are somewhat obvious are pretty much set. It's what are they going to do as far as talent acquisition outside of, you know, rounds 2 through 7 in the draft. I am fascinated to see how Goody and company approach that. Mike, what's up, man? Nags, you always say this is entertainment. However, I have not been very entertained the last 5 weeks. Well, yes, true, but you also entered the start of the game not knowing who was going to win or going to lose. You had to watch it play out. You're supposed to enjoy the games. That's why I always say when people are bitching in the first quarter or after one drive, our defense sucks, and then the defense gets a turnover on the next drive. So you got to let it play out. That's the entertaining part, or it's supposed to be. But people, again, I also always say, people want to make every play a referendum. If you exist that way, you're going to be miserable. Again, this is just how I approach it. I get it. Your mileage may vary. Nick, what's up? Holy smokes, 50 minutes? What have you all been talking about? Depeche Mode, mostly, but some Packers stuff in there as well. All right, everybody, I do have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.